Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Time than it takes to sing this song, a fraction of a second, and the elements were made. The biped stood up straight, the dinosaurs all met their fate. They tried to leap, but they were late, and they all died.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Well, you hear it all the time. We can date the age of the Earth. We can go into those rocks, into those fossils. We can figure out exactly how old everything is. If you look at the average textbook in a grade school or a middle school or a high school someplace, sometimes the claims will even be made that things like carbon dating have proven or tend to support the theory of evolution. Is this true? What are the limits of carbon dating? What exactly is it? What can it measure? What does it measure? And can we be sure that the amount of carbon in our world has always been constant? We're going to be talking about carbon dating with Mike Riddle of Answers in Genesis. Now, if you've got questions or comments on carbon dating, this is your time to call. We're coming to you live this Thursday, November the 6th. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Mike Riddle is a speaker for Answers in Genesis based in Wilmore, Kentucky. Mike, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you, Todd. Pleasure to be here.
Should carbon dating cause a Christian to question the biblical account of creation and his belief in it?
Well, the quick answer, absolutely not. And the long answer, absolutely not. The reason for that is number one, the Bible has to be our first source of information. The Bible says it is the Word of God in 2 Timothy 3:16, and in John 17:17, it says it's true, and God's Word says that He created everything in six literal days. So if we do see things out there in science textbooks that seem to disagree with God's Word, we shouldn't automatically go to God's Word and try and change it. We should evaluate the information we're getting from the scientists and the other textbooks. We need to get Christians to stand strong in God's Word first, and before we start changing God's Word, we need to ask some basic questions. It was carbon-14. Is it really based on observational science or an interpretation of past events? And that's really what it is. It's based on an interpretation of past events, and it includes assumptions in the dating method. So no, we should not have our faith challenged on that. We should take a look at what's really happening in carbon-14 dating. And what we're going to find out, I believe, on this show is carbon-14 dating. The carbon-14 actually supports a very young Earth. And that's not being told in our school systems.
That is something that might shock people to hear it, because it's either assumed or it's asserted and believed that carbon-14 dating is kind of one of the very basic ways that those who study the age of the Earth or the layers of rocks or fossils or very ancient remains of living matter are able to determine with almost pinpoint accuracy how old something is. What are the limits of carbon-14 dating?
Well, first of all, carbon-14 dating can only be used to date organic material, once living things. It can't be used to date rocks. In other words, what happens is carbon-14 actually gets produced in our atmosphere. Our atmosphere is mostly made up of nitrogen and oxygen, two most prominent gases. And here's what happens. We have things called cosmic rays bombarding our upper atmosphere from outer space. And they come down with tremendous force and intensity. And what they will actually do is cause some of the nitrogen atoms in our atmosphere to be converted into carbon-14 atoms. For those of you who really like this physics stuff, what happens is it's a proton-neutron change. But so some of the nitrogen gets converted into carbon-14. Now, carbon-14 will combine with oxygen. So carbon combines with oxygen, giving us carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide gets taken in by the plants. Then we eat it and we breathe it. So all living things get carbon-14 in them. Since rocks don't eat or breathe, they really won't get carbon-14 in them. So the carbon-14 dating process can only be used to date what we call organic material or once living things.
How long is the yardstick that is carbon-14? How far back can it accurately or inaccurately date something?
Well, we usually say, the textbooks, we usually say maybe about 50, 60,000 years. With some of the latest methods, the accuracy is diminished, but back to about 80,000 years. That's an assumed accuracy level with some of the latest techniques. But the 40, 50,000 years, as it turns out, is not accurate at all because they're ignoring the very key assumption in the carbon-14 dating method, which was actually shown to be false over 40 years ago. Even the founder of the carbon-14 dating method, Dr. Libby, a very smart scientist, noted in his own work that the assumption was not true, and he just ignored it. Why did he ignore it? Because he put his belief in evolution above the observable science.
What was the assumption that he knowingly ignored, knowing it was not true?
The assumption is that the amount of carbon-14 being produced in the atmosphere, this again through the cosmic rays, converting some of the nitrogen into oxygen, so the amount being produced in the atmosphere is equal to the amount that's decaying over a period of time. In other words, carbon-14 is what we call unstable or radioactive. And what happens after a period of time, the carbon-14 decays back into nitrogen. So it's both being produced in the atmosphere and it is decaying out of the atmosphere. If that rate is constant on both sides, in other words, we have a constant rate of carbon-14 in the atmosphere, which we call equilibrium, then carbon-14 could be an accurate dating method back to about 40, 50,000 years.
So he knew that the amount going into the system and the amount leaving the system were not equal, that this was not an equilibrium or a constant state, and yet he proceeded with on that assumption nonetheless.
That's exactly right. In other words, it's being produced in the atmosphere almost 20% faster than it's decaying. Now, here's some implications of that. One of the reasons he ignored that, because if we start it with no carbon-14 in the atmosphere, none whatsoever, it would take about 30,000 years to reach this equilibrium. And Dr. Libby knew that, and he even put it in his own journal. It would only take about 30,000 years to reach equilibrium. Since we're still almost 20% out of equilibrium, and it only takes 30,000 years to reach that state, what does that suggest about the age of the Earth? There has not been enough time to reach equilibrium.
Have those who hold to the view of evolution, knowingly hold to the view of evolution, have they simply assumed that this assumption, which is false, is in fact true? Do they know about this?
Well, let's put it this way. There are evolutionists out there that know some of this, and I've talked with them. But most people, including educators in the school systems and people who talk about carbon-14, don't know this process. They're teaching it, but they've never heard of the equilibrium process, that it's out of equilibrium, because it's simply not mentioned in any textbooks. You have to go to the journals. And this is actually recorded in the radiocarbon journals themselves, the evolutionist journals. It's been recorded in there. So some are aware of it, but most are simply not aware of the whole idea of the assumption of carbon-14 dating.
We've got just a few minutes here before we take our first break. Mike, can you tell me about the rate group, that is radioisotopes and the age of the Earth? What exactly did this 8-year research project, find?
Yes, that was a research project that started in 1997 by 8 research scientists. Now, we're talking about atmospheric scientists, PhD physicists, geophysicists, and geologists. They did an 8-year study, and what they did was they challenged the assumptions in both carbon-14 dating and other radiometric dating methods. And what they found out was that the assumptions that the evolutionists assumed to be true again were not true. And something rather astounding came out with the carbon-14. It is so good that it challenges the entire geologic column of billions of years. and shrinks it down to only thousands of years. And what happened was, the scientists, what they did is they went out and took a look at coal. Now, coal, according to evolutionists, is millions of years old. And they got coal samples from around the world, 10 different locations, all up and down the geologic timescale. And they took these coal samples to some of the evolutionist labs so they wouldn't bias the experiment. And then what was found in that coal was still significant measurable amounts of carbon-14. Now, here's the problem. After about 100,000 years, 80 to 100,000 years, there should be no detectable carbon-14 really in that coal. But yet, in every sample, carbon-14 was still in it. And they did a very thorough job of limiting any form of contamination. Now, what does that mean? What that means is the coal cannot be millions of years old, nor can the locations where they found it in the geologic record be millions of years old. It all has to be thousands. The reason why? Because, again, all that carbon-14 should have been down there out of that coal in about 80 to 100,000 years.
Let's take a break. We're talking with Mike Riddle, speaker for Answers in Genesis based in Wilmore, Kentucky, about carbon dating. It's Thursday afternoon, November the 6th. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll respond to your phone calls and your email on carbon dating. I know you got questions. We'll do so right after this break. Our email address here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. We are coming to you live this Thursday, November the 6th. Talkback@issuesetc.org. And our call-in number, toll-free, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. 877-623-MYIE. We have some resources on the subject we're talking about, carbon-14 dating, posted at our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand, issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on the program, we'll discuss President-elect Barack Obama and America's religious future. Dr. Martin Noland will be our guest. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. When we come back, more on carbon dating. Very interesting to learn this stuff. We'll find out exactly what the true assumptions, what conclusions the true assumptions lead to when it comes to carbon-14. I'm Todd Wilkin, 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
We call devotional time in the Schwarz household Jesus time. We use a hymnal, a Bible, the catechism, and a book of prayers. I've always wanted a devotional book with all of these resources. Well, it's coming this fall. It's called Treasury of Daily Prayer. Find out about it on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A family-friendly devotional resource, Treasury of Daily Prayer.
The sharpest arrow in your apologetics quiver. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran Church, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about carbon dating. Mike Riddle is our guest, a speaker for Answers in Genesis based in Wilmore, Kentucky. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. I want to get to some email, but first I want you to finish the story on the rate research. They not only took coal to have the carbon 14 content measured, they also took diamonds, which I would assume are going to be much, much older.
That's right. The diamonds, again, being one of the hardest substances, if not the hardest, they took diamond samples around the world. Based on evolutionary dating, these diamonds are millions to billions of years old. But yet, now, diamonds are a very unique kind of a stone because they're made up of pure carbon. So they're very unique as far as the stone in carbon-14. But they took these to the same type of labs, and in every diamond sample, they found measurable amounts of carbon-14 still in there. This is significant, again, because this is not taught in the schools. It's actually ignored. But what it does show, again, now this is observable science. This is not based on assumptions. This is observable science. We can take these coal samples, these diamond samples today, and actually notice and measure carbon-14 still in them when it should not be there according to evolutionary timescale. Now, one of the significant things here that Christians need to understand is if we bend over and fall into the trap of this millions and billions of years idea from these faulty dating methods, what we actually do is destroy much of the plain reading of Scripture, because we now bind to things like death before sin. We misinterpret the plain reading of Scripture. The Ten Commandments, where it says God created everything in 6 days, cannot be understood. We have death and decay, millions of years of that. The plain reading of Scripture, where God says evening and morning, and the first day, second day, no longer mean that. So it does destroy much of the Scriptures. Even the words of Jesus Christ now come into doubt, the gospel message. Because in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 6, Jesus Christ says, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." In other words, Jesus said man and woman were on this planet from the beginning of creation, not after millions of years. So this has profound effects on the Bible if we accept these dating methods without actually examining the assumptions.
Jeff in Philadelphia emails us with a question. He says, "You want to keep the Bible over fallible human understanding of the record of nature. Fine, I agree," says Jeff. But he asks, "Do you allow for the record of nature to correct fallible human understandings of Scripture?"
Okay, do we accept? Okay, where the Bible, again, has got to be our first source as Christians. If we don't go to the Bible first, then we've elevated something higher than God's Word. Now, yes, we can go to the plain reading of Scripture. The plain reading of Scripture says 6 literal days, not very long ago, about 6,000 years ago. That is the plain reading. Now, again, if we go to nature and we elevate what we believe about nature to be higher than God's Word, we have some problems. Again, death before sin, that undermines the gospel. But we also have to look at what is man's understanding of nature. It has been faulty all along. We've always had to correct ourselves along the line. But the Bible is God's Word. It has never had to change. So the first thing we should look at when we find something not agreeing with God's Word is ask some questions. Are there any assumptions? Does everybody agree? Has it ever been observed? And in the dating processes, they're all based on assumptions. Why should we allow something based on assumptions have higher precedence than God's Word?
Tim is listening in St. Louis. Thanks for waiting, Tim. Welcome.
Thank you. That was a wonderful explanation there, sir. I like that. My question did have to do with the dating, because I've always wondered, because I hear a lot of evolutionists speaking about the dating and how things must be must have been around for billions of years because of how old it is. And I wanted you to speak more to that, how the evidence that seems that we know isn't that old, but even though it seems that old. And I'm sorry I didn't explain that better. But
I think I understand what you're saying, Tim. Thank you very much. I mean, there is an appearance of extreme age, and this is often cited colloquially as evidence for evolution. It just all looks very old, too. How do we respond to this?
Well, that was a good question, Tim. Very good question. Thank you for that. And that comes into this appearance of age. Now, a question I would have, what makes you think it looks old? And how can you look at something and tell the difference between a 100-year-old rock and a 500-year-old rock or a 2,000-year-old rock? No, we really can't. Rocks don't come with age dates on them. What we have to do again is apply science. Now, the science we're applying is not faulty. It's good science. However, what we're trying to apply is good science today and use that to interpret something that happened in the past. Therefore, our interpretation are all based on, again, assumptions. Carbon-14 has assumptions. All the other radiometric dating methods also have assumptions. And what we have recently found out in the other dating methods is now we have good evidence that they also show an age of the Earth about 6,000 years old. And that, we can hold that one for another topic another time. But the carbon-14, the fact that we're finding carbon-14 in coal and in diamonds is powerful evidence. It simply cannot be that old. And there's many other dating measurements that show it can't be millions to billions of years old. And all those seem to be ignored in the textbooks.
Phil in Kansas emails us with this question. He said, would your guest speaker address the necessity of faith for a belief in creation, or does he feel that creation can be proven?
Now, I hate to use the word proof. We really can't prove the Bible. Is it a necessity as a Christian? No, it's not necessary to believe in a literal six-day creation to be a Christian. However, it does affect your ability to witness to a non-believer and tell the truth about God's creation. In other words, we sing this great hymn, I love to tell the story, but can we tell the whole story? See, the story doesn't start in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The story starts in Genesis. Because of what happened in the first three chapters of Genesis, the whole rest of the Bible had to be written. Because right there we find that God's creation was perfect. Then we have the fall, and then the whole creation comes under curse. And the whole rest of the Bible now begins to unfold where God is promised a Redeemer, and he's going to take everything back again to the way it was before sin entered the world. In other words, he's going to make everything new in the end. In the end, we find God, Jesus, taking back his he never lost his creation, but he's going to restore it. So is creation important? Yes, it is a very essential doctrine for the Christian faith, but it's not, I'm not saying you have to be a Christian to believe in it, but if you're not believing that in the literal creation, then you can't tell somebody why Jesus had to go to the cross, because it goes back to Genesis.
So does the science, with only about a minute here, does the science, the best science that we have, especially with regard to these dating methods, does it support the claims of the evolutionist and a very, very ancient Earth, or does it better fit the model presented to us in Holy Scripture, a rapid creation and a young Earth?
What we're finding out, all the latest evidence now does support, the science does support a very young Earth. The carbon-14 shows that because of the coal and the diamonds and the equilibrium, and the other radiometric dating methods for dating rocks also now are showing a very young Earth, exactly confirming God's word.
Do you expect the textbooks to change anytime soon, Mike?
No, I don't, because age, time, long ages are one of the holy grails of the evolution model. They cannot at any cost let go of that, because the whole model falls apart at that point.
So if you don't have gargantuan spans of time and all sorts of chance, you just can't make evolution work the way they say it has to work.
Right. In other words, what I like to tell people is the teaching of evolution has preempted the teaching of science in our schools today. We've got to get back to teaching science in the science classroom. Not creation, because it's not a perfect world, not intelligent design, not the Bible, but all the scientific evidence and allow our students to do critical thinking and come to the correct conclusions.
Folks, you can read an article written by our guest titled, What About, actually it's titled, Doesn't Carbon-14 Dating Disprove the Bible? It's on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, click On Demand. Mike Riddle is a speaker for Answers in Genesis based in Wilmore, Kentucky. Mike, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd. God bless.
Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about President-elect Barack Obama and America's religious future. Dr. Martin Noland will be our guest. I know that it's you can walk outside your house feeling a little foolish if you actually buy into a six-day creation and a young Earth, because it appears no one believes it, especially Christians. I mean, they've abandoned this one without even looking at the best evidence. Maybe just succumbing to the pressure of society and the claims of alleged science. Would it surprise you to find out that the best science actually supports what is considered to be the kooky notion of a young Earth and a six-day creation? Why should it surprise you? Think about that for a moment. Why should you be surprised or feel uncomfortable thinking about the Earth as young and the creation as taking place in 6 days? I mean, the scripture says that's what happened. It's very difficult to get around that. Could it simply be that either through the pressure of education or misinformation, or you just don't want to feel foolish, you feel more comfortable with going along with evolution's version of the story in one way or another? They say millions and billions of years and infinite amounts of energy and matter and time, and they can give you everything we have today. And God in His Word says, I did it in 6 days, and I didn't do it that long ago. I'll go with God. I'm Todd Wilken. Talk with you again tomorrow, and thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilken and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.